So I have to present something before I get into the Palm Sunday talk, sort of loosely Palm Sunday talk. So we've had an extraordinary weekend here, and as many of you know, my son, Quarter Simmons, that's his stage name. He's been a part of our experience over the weekend, and so I just want to share a little bit about what has been our experience, Shane and my experience in having him come, and have a sense of what the backstory is, because his coming was not easy. It was not easy for him to make this journey. But he made this journey with such great generosity and presence, and it is such an overwhelming gift and experience for me and Jane. I hadn't seen my son for over 5 years.
Wow.
And as many of you witnessed in the experience of watching me watch my son, I experienced something that has been a new emotion within me, and and people were asking me, "Are you proud? Aren't you so proud?" And I was saying to myself, "Oh, that's what this is that I'm experiencing." I've just had my heart so open so widely, and as you can imagine, given what you know about my background, my work, I've used his visit as a form of intense therapy, as well as to be able to really have a chance to really get to know my son in a deeper way. And it's important for you to know in terms of where my son has come from. He's come from his family. Here's a picture of him and his husband and their newly adopted child, Derek. And so Jason, Jane and I married my son and his husband Jason 12 years ago in St. Croix Island, right? Okay, in the Caribbean. And at the same place, my daughter, my estranged daughter, was there as well.
Wow.
So that was a kind of a pivotal moment. But anyway, meanwhile, just so you know, that Jason is a lobbyist, and he's an advocate for gay and lesbian rights. He is an advocate especially for the prevention of conversion therapy in religious organizations. And And so it has been their lifelong hope to become parents. And so many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, they entered into the foster system. That's the first step of adoption, become a foster parent. And so they went through all kinds of processes to qualify. And as you can imagine, there's still some prejudice in the system with respect to the suitability of LGBTQ parents. And so they had to overcome those obstacles. But in addition, they felt called to, in their search for their right and perfect child, they were willing to take an older child, and also they were willing to take a child with special needs. Derek had a brain tumor, which caused him to have over 100 seizures a day. And so in the removal of that brain tumor, he was able to have a remission with respect to that situation, but as you can imagine, there are challenges whenever you have a life built around, you know, just trying to kind of be well. And in addition, Derek is one of 20,000 other elderly foster children in the system that is also a part of the LGBTQ community, which is very difficult to be adopted if you're a child in that demographic, because the system doesn't know how to really adequately support you through all of the challenges. And so consequently, most children in the system age out of the system, or they kill themselves, because there's a high degree of suicide among this demographic and in the foster systems. And so my son and his husband have taken on this challenge to open their hearts to calling Derek their son with such special and enormous needs. So it's difficult for my son to travel when his husband is unemployed right now. and requires attending to the needs of Derek. And a lot of that happens to be around making sure that they have emergency care access, things of this nature from time to time. And in the context of our trying to get Daniel to come, Derek had to go to the emergency room. And so all the whole time, things were tentative all the way. But suffice to say, the thing that was so profound for me was to witness in my understanding of my son's journey, a growing dimension of his desire to really matter in someone's life. And to have that be the most important thing. And it's something that I don't have. I have never been modeled by my parents what it means to make their children the most important thing in their life. To make their purpose is to be present in such a way as their child would grow up in the awareness that they mattered. And because I didn't receive that, no fault of my parents, because that's sort of, there's a story around that I'm not going to go into, but suffice to say that I came to recognize that my son was doing something in his relationship with his son that I was unable to do, because I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know that was the purpose of things. And while that was a recognition that I made, it also brought me into a place where I could see that not having had that as being the context for having children, I was brought up in a time in the baby boomer generation where you had kids because that's just what you did. And it was based upon my own emotional immaturity that I left my children early in their development to find my sense of well-being and worth in relationships, and not really knowing my worth, saw what it had affected, the impact that it had on my children. So I wanted you to have that backstory because I'm wanting you to also have a sense that a part of our journey, especially when we look at why we celebrate Easter or why it is our Christian tradition to kind of look at the historical demonstration of Jesus and really take into ourselves what can this mean to us insofar as our own ability to resurrect from our own self-imposed limiting beliefs. What does it mean to us to come to terms to reconcile with our own human nature and our tendency to make mistakes and to create karma? And what do we do with that when we awaken, when we recognize that we could have done better had we been above the line, but because we're below the line, we say and do things that create, you know, challenges. And so this visit with my son has kind of unleashed this dimension of myself that has both found forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, and empowerment, a place where Jane and I really see now that we can enter into my son, I call him Daniel, that's his given name, Derek and Jason. We can become their parents again. And we can make them a purpose in our life. And they welcome that relationship with us. And so that's sort of the outcome. That's what was in it for me to have my son come. And I wanted to share that piece with you. So. So I'm gonna make it happen through this talk, something that ties back to this. But let's suffice to say that, you know, a week ago, when it's my turn to talk, I have to come up with a title and write a blurb. And so, Palm Sunday. Okay, Palm Sunday is what we're traditionally kind of celebrating. Unity is culturally Christian, but we're not focused on looking at historical events as the truth, but rather historical events as mirroring our own spiritual journey. And so for me, you know, it's culturally our Christian tradition has Jesus as a victim. You know, Jesus died for our sins, and so what we're taught and what we come to believe in the context of our Palm Sunday, getting ready for Easter energy, when we come together in spiritual community, it's often awkward for us to reconcile the culture of the religion about Jesus from what I would describe as the religion of Jesus. They're two different things. What Jesus believed and what we made around Jesus as his message and then movement and then the monument is totally different than what was going on in Jesus' beingness and how he was with what was happening. And so it's important for us in unity to differentiate the story about Jesus from our effort to really understand the consciousness that he embodied and to enter into the effort to inhabit that, because it's above the line, because it's connected to the field of infinite possibilities. And so as we try to decouple from the religion about Jesus and really enter into an appreciation of what was his effort to bring forth a teaching and to convey that teaching in a way that it would transform people's lives so that they would permanently be altered in so far as always living in this consciousness that I'm one with God. I'm a child of God. Jesus was executed, murdered, for claiming that he was the Son of God. And yet he proclaimed that we are all children of God. And that the dichotomy of the religious establishment doing something different than what the actual message and what the man stood for, we have to reconcile that because our religious tradition doesn't. Okay, so what if we're in the question, you know, who is Jesus really? And, you know, we all have different concepts of Jesus, but no thought or concept of Jesus is Jesus. No thought of your mother is your mother. There's nothing that we can do and no story that we can make up that can accurately bring us into a dimensional experience of what it must be like to be seeing life with Jesus' eyes, processing what's happening through Jesus' consciousness. We don't even go there necessarily, but why not? Why don't we go there? Do you want to go there?
Yeah.
Okay, but the first step is to get past the sense that there's this kind of image that we have to be beholden to. Out of all these pictures, there's only one that is accurately depicting someone of that ethnicity and scientifically depicting what Jesus might look like. Which one is it? Right. And so as we begin to decouple from the difference between the actual reality of the conditions and the life and the political landscape and the religious hierarchy and the systems of being occupied by an occupying force, there are dimensions of what goes into the stories that live in the context of politics, live in the context of religious hierarchy. And so what if we totally decouple from that and be in the moment? What was that mind that Paul says, let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? What is that? And that's the question that I want to connect up to. That's what I want to focus on. And so if we just kind of begin to kind of cultivate what that might be like, let us go with me for a moment. Hypothesize, wonder with me for a moment. If we were to just imagine or try to imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to feel connected to everyone, Would you imagine that that's something that he would be capable of generating? A feel of being connected to everyone. Okay, we don't know how to do that just yet, but let's not go there just yet. Let's just imagine what Jesus brings to the moment that he's present to. And let us say it first begins with a feeling, not a thought, a feeling of being connected to everyone. Everything, everywhere, in every time. Can you imagine that that's a dimension that Jesus would be actualized or inhabiting. Can you go there just for a moment? If not, let me take you there, because that's where we need to go if we're really to get clear about what this message is about. So right now, let's just be in the question, can you feel connected to everyone in this room? Can you just kind of sense what that might be like? And how would you do that? What would you turn on if you're going to turn on some way of connecting up to everyone in this room? What would you turn on? Okay, you wouldn't think your way into that feeling. No, but you'd begin to understand that there is a spaciousness at the very center of your being, wherever that is, your heart space. And then you can imagine just every heart being connected. Because while in thoughts, all of our beliefs make us unique. There's only one of us that thinks the way we do. But yet, on the level of our thought, we're all connected to that field of infinite possibilities. Can you sense that? And can you sense that this is the state that Jesus brought to every single moment, a feeling of being connected to everything, everyone, everywhere, every time? And so what would you imagine it would feel like to feel connected to everything? Can you imagine what it might feel like? So we have difficulty going there because we don't routinely train ourselves to welcome the feeling of being connected to all of life. And we don't kind of generate a sense of what that might mean for us. What is the implication of me being connected to everyone, to everything, everywhere, and every time? What is the implication if I'm able to feel into that reality and then be with whatever I'm having out of that? Be with whatever I'm having out of the sense that I'm a part of something bigger, way, way bigger than this. I'm a part of something that is so huge that I cannot be with this out of any sense of lack, any sense that this is against me. I have to be with it out of the sense that it's a part of something that is moving me into a greater expression of what is possible when we connect up to our essence. But you see, our essence is not the little Gary or the little me. The essence is this field. The field is our essence. The field is our wholeness. The field is our abundance. The field is our capacity to fulfill ourselves. And when we recognize that this is something that we have to connect to and feel our connection and then bring that connection to the very experiences that are arising within our life, there's a different relationship, a different energetic way of being, a different resourcefulness. We can transform a limiting moment because we know that when we're connected to the field, there is no felt sense of inadequacy, unworthiness, not good enough. We have only the absolute knowing that we're all in this together. And as I bring that awareness, and I got to tell you, it's the reason why I'm sharing this is because I had literally this experience last week in being present to my own life's journey and the things that I've described as being the regrets that I have carried with me, and having arrived at a place where, yes, there is the part of me that when it lives in a sense of separation, when it lives in its own sense of not enough or inadequacy or unworthiness, I'm going to create the kind of life circumstances that cause me to have to own the part of me that is still kind of living in separation. And I can't allow that to happen any longer. I can't continue to permit that to be what is a part of how I'm interacting with the world. It doesn't make sense anymore to have to bring that energy of having to force something, to have to coax something out of the world when we're already connected to the field. And what we need mostly to do is to get out of any sense of separation from it, and bring simply that felt sense of connection to whatever we're experiencing and bear witness to how we are. And what we'll notice is that we welcome, we're more loving, we're more caring, we're more compassionate, we're more generous, we're more of everything that is what we're always wanting to be anyway, but we have to intentionally bring that felt connection to the moment. So what you can practice as a way of kind of generating this is, what are you grateful for? Because gratitude is the first thing that opens up your heart. And it becomes the basis of helping us stay connected to something that we want to feel, and that we want to bring that feeling into what we're having. So we can begin with generating a felt sense of gratitude by just bringing into our awareness all the things that we're grateful for. But that's just generating the internal state that connects us into the awareness that we are connected to everyone. We're just not living as if that's the truth. We are connected to all of life. We're just not living as if that's the truth. And we are connected everywhere. We're just not seeing, except for the grace of God, there go I. And we are in all time. We're just not seeing the present moment as being a portal to a dimension that where we are infinite and eternal. And as we recognize that it's less about trying to make sense of the craziness in the world, it's more about connecting up to a dimension of ourself that already has, as our best interest, the means by which we can be present to any situation that we're having and be unto it what Jesus was, the Christ of God, Christ unto his world. And this is what we're called to experience ourselves. But we can't experience it from below the line. We have to experience it from interbeing, from this dimension of the field that contains our mission, our purpose. I guess that's it, right? Thank you.